This is A Cultural History Of, with Miranda Garrett and Chesky Pesier. Like homework, but drunker.
Hello, and welcome to A Cultural History Of, a podcast dedicated to overthinking the everyday. I'm Miranda, a historian, museum professional, and PhD student studying Victorian interior design. And my co-host is Chesky, who is also a PhD student studying theatre design and Liverpool. Hey. Say hello. Nigel is our producer and a professional destroyer of burritos. And today we'd like to welcome Andrew Carson, who is the proud owner of a penis. And he's seen many penises he professes in the wild and and in captivity.
Correct.
So, Chesky, maybe you can tell us why I've introduced Andrew in this way.
Yes, it does seem you're a bit over-focused, even more than normal, on anatomy this week. And that's because we're going to be talking about the cultural history of dick pics.
Hurrah! So, Andrew, have you ever sent one yourself?
Yes, I have.
Tell us about that. Talk us through the process of taking that photograph.
Well, you've got to get the angle right, because angles, there's a sort of laws, like laws of geometry and whatnot.
What's the best angle?
Well, not for a bad angle, for example, is to go from the point of view of, imagine if you just look down at your crotch.
We're all now looking down at our crotch.
Yeah, take a picture from that point of view.
I can mainly see boobs.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, if you're a man, that's probably not the case.
Hopefully less of a problem.
Unless you like having man boobs, and obviously some people do like having...
But not in a penis photography situation.
No, you've got the wrong thing.
You could adore your man boobs, but if they're blocking the view
that's
of the main event...
That's a poorly framed photo.
Yeah, exactly. So assuming they are not there to obstruct your view of the penis there is not the most complimentary. And I remember actually being taught this by a physics teacher. Wait, bear with me.
Teacher.
Bear with me here. So, at my school, there was a physics teacher called Mr. Lamb, and he was a great, great
guy. Shout out, Mr. Lamb, if you're listening.
Shout out, Mr. Lamb. This is going to end your career.
He was one of the appointed teachers.
Which school did you go to?
It's a school in deep in rural Cambridgeshire. And Mr. Lamb, everyone loved Mr. Lamb. He was a very charismatic man, very entertaining, very funny. And he did a diagram on the blackboard. And this was all in the vein of, guys, don't worry about your dick size, because geometry and physics.
This is
how he was selling it. I think it was I'm not a scientist. I couldn't corroborate or ratify what he was saying at the time, and nor can I now. However, he said that the view of your penis as you immediately look down is not necessarily representative of how big your dick actually is. So. Don't worry about that so much. And it's true, if you receive dick pics, you probably wouldn't notice. But one thing that is true is that most guys wouldn't take it from that point of view, because it's not the most flattering point of view with regards to demonstrating the size of your manhood.
Ah. So would you prefer sort of a 45 degree angle? Or?
Yeah, maybe it's like a sort of profile shot.
So I think it's important to point out at this early stage that while we're looking at dick pics in a very light-hearted way, actually we'd like to emphasise that an unsolicited dick pic is always harassment. So it's all about context and consent. Don't do that. Do you remember the first dick pic you ever received?
I don't.
Maybe we'll talk about through the last dick pic.
Well, I was
going to
say, do you remember the time before, and I'm saying this from Miranda as well, before dick pics, as in before camera phones? So if you wanted to sext someone before a camera phone, you used to have to be a bit more literate.
Well, no, because when I was 16, at home, you know, the dial-up modem, 16K modem, whatever it was, you dial up onto the internet, and you could get onto the internet, and there'd be more profile, you know, like you still have now, profile-based dating sites. So there was one I used, obviously, called Gaydar, which most people...
Oh, I remember Gaydar.
...probably have heard of. It still exists, I believe. And so you could upload a scan. You used to have to, like,
scan
of, not a scan of your actual dick.
Oh, God, yeah. Stick it in in the photo.
That would be a dick scan.
That's a new level.
Yes, that would be a very sort of early 90s.
I mean, that'd be the sort of thing you'd be caught by your parents with your dick in the scanner.
Well, no one's parents had a scanner in the 90s. You'd have to go to a shop, wouldn't you?
You would, actually.
You'd have to go to an internet cafe. Difficult.
Or maybe at school or something.
But you're right. So actually, what we're making
the physics teacher's there over your shoulder going, wrong angle. Scan it from the left, boys.
While you're doing it in the staff room with the physics teacher watching over your shoulder.
No, Mr. Lamb was not like that.
I meant only encouragingly.
But you scan a physical photograph on a scanner.
So you'd have to go and take the photograph, get it developed in
very,
boots.
Very risky if you're using your parents' camera, which would have been the case at the time. I never did it. I'm sure it's been done.
Yeah.
But basically dick pics and all forms of nude photography have been digitally shared prior to the apps and camera phones.
But I think it holds less of a casual relationship that we have with it now.
Yeah, that already seems like quite an effort, having to go to Boots, get the photo developed, find your physics teacher's scanner.
Times are hard in Cambridge here.
But whereas now, I can just whack my smartphone out, and I don't have a penis, so I can't do it. But
you could send a boob pic or a...
Yeah, I could.
I think it's worth saying that I am a gay man, which probably hasn't been identified yet. Mm. And that is relevant because I think...
Otherwise everyone's going to really be wondering what you've been doing on Grindr.
That's the question I always have about dick pics.
Mm. So, Chesky, what is the question that you always wanted to ask about dick pics?
Do men have them stored on their phones, ready to go? Like, this is the moment.
Absolutely.
I feel this is the time.
Absolutely.
Or is it a moment thing?
Very unspontaneous.
And you're surprised by that?
I'm quite surprised.
Are you? Yeah. No, they're there. It's like...
Have you got a special folder for that? What do you call the special folder?
Recipes. So no one goes, look, gammon.
Gammon. It doesn't even have a name. It's just, it depends on which app you're using and how it works, I suppose. But yeah, that you have, you've taken some care beforehand because you don't want to send a rough dick pic. I think I have sent a rough dick pic before.
You don't want to be popping into a Travelodge toilet and having a pose, you know.
You know, you don't want to get like, you don't want to get the
flash. Isn't there a certain joy in the spontaneity?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they never happen, but, you want people to see you at your best, you know, in any situation. So you spontaneity can sometimes betray you this way. You can sort of
have a little photography session yourself, pour yourself a glass of wine, scented candle, get the sort of...
Stick some Enya on.
Enya No one poses to Enya.
I know. You were sort of painting a picture of a very sort of relaxed, moody scene. Maybe some whale music. Oh, really angsty erection.
Sorry, I've just been informed by my producer I must not Enya shame.
Sorry, and Andrew, it's not Portishead shame. That's my sex music.
That's a very dark erection if you're listening to trip hop. What I'd like to say is there are definitely good dick pictures and bad dick pictures, and so I think guys will generally have a little gallery ready of their kind of finest moments.
So I'm just imagining the gallery music from Take This contribution from Terence at Brighton.
Terence was
age 52.
Terence's wife doesn't know he's here. I would watch that show.
Well, let's make that happen. I think maybe just one thing quickly that we haven't addressed yet is, what is the point of a dick pic? Why are you sending them? Why are people sending them?
What people hope will happen?
Because gay men and women like penises, and guys send them in the hope that this will...
I don't think gay women like penises.
Gay women are very...
Did I say gay women?
We say gay men and women.
All right, gay men, and women. nothing sliding on this show, is it?
Is that kind of a show? It has a bibliography.
We're dedicated to overanalyzing the everyday, so get your grammar straight, even though this is spoken.
It's pretty straightforward. People send dick pics in the hope that it's going to get them a sexual partner at the end, because they'll be like, "Oh, that's a nice dick. I'd like to fuck him."
The cultural history of overthinking things since 2016.
For our first round, Andrew, Miranda and I would like to present to you two historical precedents for the dick pic. You thought that the dick pic began potentially with the scanner.
Well, with your physics teacher.
But oh, what a history it has. I think, Miranda, you're going Roman.
I am going Roman, yeah. So I would like to posit the Fascinus as a cultural precedent for the dick pic. So the dick pic is a very 21st century way of celebrating the iconic power of the disembodied phallus, as I'm sure you'd agree. But horny smartphone users are not the first to assert the symbolic power of the penis. One historical precedent are the winged penis amulets of ancient Roman culture. These flying cock charms are thought to symbolise the fascinus, the divine phallus, or the embodiment of the Roman deity of fertility, whose sacred image the Vestal Virgins, in addition to their many other duties, tended. They protected the owner-wearer from evil and were found on jewellery. You get little sort of gold charms wear around your neck. Wall paintings have a lovely fresco of a winged cock. Lamps and other household items.
Great.
So, household items?
Household items.
Well, like a jug?
Yeah, like a jug.
Okay.
Yeah, or a lamp.
A whisk.
More tea, Susan.
Or maybe a whisk.
A whisk.
So representations of the flying phallus abound in the archaeological and textual record of ancient Roman culture, and there are hundreds of them hidden in drawers in museum collections across the former Roman Empire. And I should know, because when I was working at the Society of Antiquaries of London, I actually shared an office with quite a lot of them. But, so as with the dick pic, the fascinus is invariably represented as virile, erect and alive, despite its disembodiment. So I'd like to suggest that maybe instead of keeping dick pics in a hidden folder on our phone, we should be plastering them all over our walls to ward off the evil eye.
Well, yeah, why not? I mean, it's sort of horses for courses, isn't it, really? If you want to have... If you want to have a great big blown up picture of your penis in your drawing room, you know, or in the spare bedroom, or
in your office.
The guest, yeah. Actually, the guest bedroom would be particularly it's kind of cute. It's kind
well, there's a really strong
angelic
history of wings in penises.
So no, it's not. There's not a strong history of people having winged
penises.
Well, if
you think about it, a lot of the words we used to describe the male genitalia, like cock, relate to birds. And I think Pepper. Spanish it's paloma,
yeah,
pigeon. And Italian uccello, bird as well. And apparently in America it's canary, so...
Canary?
I don't think so much now. I think that's maybe in the 19th century.
Okay, well, mine actually does relate a little bit to flying penises. It involves a flying penis. So one of the things I don't really like about dick pics is the way the penis is always presented as disembodied most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's usually just a floating knob, no face attached. If you're lucky, a bit of body, but that's all you really get.
Maybe a little bit of testicle.
Well, maybe a cheeky testicle.
And a few pubes.
But it's kind of presented in that what it's attached to is irrelevant. It's all very focused on the member. But however, in the 13th century, this would have been a lot more sinister to have had that kind of image, because that would have been evidence of witchcraft.
In the 13th century?
Yeah. So this occult accusation has its roots in your Garden Guide to Witch Hunting, which is Henrik Kramer's Malus Maleficarum.
Oh, wow.
And also in Tuscan folklore.
What is that type of book? Or
It's a book which is it's a handbook. It literally means the Hammer of Witches. Published in 1487, which is to help you spot and catch witches and what you should do with them once you've caught them.
Yikes.
It's also in Tuscan folklore. So witches were said to either turn your penis invisible, so you just wouldn't know you had it anymore and you'd panic, or they could also totally remove it and store it in a tree. And there's a great mural of this called the Massa Maritima mural in Tuscany. And as an early organic alternative to Anne Summers, the Tuscan legend states, and this is all pictured in the mural, that if you placed the penises in birds' nests, they would grow wings and multiply, and then the witches could use them to pleasure themselves. So flying penises again, but very much in services in the witches. It was apparently a very common problem. Kramer describes that the penises would move themselves like living members and eat oats and corn.
That's a pest, isn't it?
And it's been seen by many. Many people have seen this. Kramer also reported that sometimes witches would take pity on their victims, and they'd let them climb up the tree to find their missing penis. But they had to make sure they took the right one, because, as, quote, one witch said to a man she let go look for his knob, she told the afflicted man to climb a tree and take which he liked out of a nest, which was several members. When he tried to take the big one, the witch said, "You must not take that one. It belongs to the parish priest."
They had great drugs then, I think.
Amazing.
It sounds like they were all on something quite special.
There was a bit of a dark side, though, to all the jolly penis stealing. In Edinburgh, August 1590, two women, Jeanette Grant and Jeanette Clark, were accused of phallus theft, among other crimes, and burnt at the stake. So, you know, it was taken very seriously that they were charging and stealing
them twice before stealing a penis. So the dick pick in all of that was what again?
Well, there's illustrations within the Malleus Maleficarum of witches with baskets walking around full of penises.
Right, so it's like an educative dick pic.
Well, I think it's quite interesting the thing of here of not so much the stealing and putting them up trees, but the idea that they can make your penis invisible to you. So you couldn't see it, and terrifying. And there was a lot of scepticism of, did they either place a glamour over it that you just couldn't see it, or did they force it to draw itself up into your abdomen? So slowly your penis would just go up into your abdomen because the witches said so.
What I'm wondering is, how are the witches getting the penises? Are they, is it that sort of classic, the man's being inappropriate with the witch gets her revenge, or...
I think various. It would mean in the examples. I mean, Kramer claims that this is a common problem, and many, many have seen that the penis is eating oats and corn. But I think it was more about
it's a whole new scarecrow to deal with that.
Whether they just annoy them, but there's also some academic attention that says it doesn't actually mean stealing the penis at all. That it was a metaphor, and it was a warning against pederasty. That if you were too interested in your own knob, then the witches would come along and take it and use it for their own choices if you were too decadent with it. So you should only use it on your wife.
How would they become aware of the fact you're preoccupied with your own
witches,
knob?
They're witches.
They know everything.
Yeah.
Damn them.
Yeah, so it's, if you were engaging in pederasty, or you were... just overly masturbating.
Don't dick around with witches.
Don't dick around with witches.
It's the take home.
I have saved the illustration from the Malleus Maleficarum for next time I get an unsolicited one and just go and send them back the woodcut of the woman having cut off the penises in a basket.
I'll knock it on
there. That's such a good idea. So we'll put the picture on the blog, will we, so people can see, because I've seen it and it is fantastic.
Right, so on to social. The compulsion to remove one's clothes to cause shock or flashing has a technical term. I'm not saying that dick pics are necessarily flashing, but there is definitely, within the unsolicited, a form of like, yay, wee, let's go.
True.
that I eloquently explained. And the technical term is apodosophilia. But I prefer the colloquial term for it, which is Lady Godiva syndrome, after the naked lass on a horse. There are other technical terms. There's streaking, mooning, candyism. You ever heard of candyism?
No.
Never heard of that.
That's showing off your woman to somebody else.
Candyism.
So showing your naked significant other lady. Look, isn't it nice? That's candyism.
Candyalistic.
That word is.
Mm. Well, candid. It sounds a bit like candid. You're very candid with your lady flower.
Mm, yeah. Well,
there is a whole thing with that, where if you go to gigs, it doesn't so much happen now, but certainly in the 90s, the whole thing of, you know, girls taking their tops off on the shoulders of their boyfriends, and quite often the boyfriend would be pulling the top of his girlfriend and to display them to the band.
It's like, see my prize. Yeah. Do you like it too?
Hey, band that I like, look at my girlfriend.
It's a weird sort of masculine ownership thing going on there. It's a bit odd. I think it comes from some mythology thing of someone giving their wife to somebody else. I'm sorry, I'm not going to probably pronounce this right, but anasama, that's quite a good one. That's specifically lifting your skirt up. And my personal favourite, which is reflecto porn. That's not a lesser known Marvel character, but exposing yourself via a mirror or other reflective surface.
That's elaborate.
Which you might have seen on eBay when people sell shiny things and they're taking photographs of it and they're naked and suddenly it's like, ooh, balls in a kettle. Yeah.
We've all seen that, Buzz.
Breasts in a kettle. So the first expression of flashing or similar as disturbing the peace is in 1550.
That's quite recent, really.
It didn't become illegal in the UK until 1824.
So there's no documented streaking prior to the...
It wasn't illegal.
16th century.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't illegal.
Just streaking or public indecency?
Public indecency, so getting naked.
Didn't exist prior to...
I'm sure it existed, but it wasn't recognised as illegal.
Till the 1950s?
Until 1824.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes more sense then.
Because it was recognised as a paraphilia by Charles Lesage in 1877. Before then, it didn't make the cut of preventing normal life functioning. You could be naked and that was totally fine. Despite a 2014 survey taken in Sweden, that only 2.1% of women and 4.1% of men are aroused by flashing. It has taken on a whole brave new world online, as we have already discussed, with unsolicited dick pics of just dropping it into conversation, or do you like Mungo Jerry? Yeah, me too. All look knob, you know, just totally unexpected. Also, I was really intrigued by My Cock Flash Tumblr, which is a top trumps of flashing photographs that people send in their own pictures of them just getting their penis out in unexpected situations, and they get extra points if they can get people in the
background.
Like
a meat raffle.
There's some great ones at Asda. There's lots of people in the car just driving along with their penis out, washing the car, just popping it out for a little bit of
air. Yeah.
My favourite ones are when the person's quite elaborately clothed and it's quite chilly, obviously, and then they're just like, "Woo, there it is," just sneaking out at the edge. But yeah, so modern flashing and Lady Godiva syndrome. First recorded arrest for streaking was in 1799.
What sort of event was that at?
A man was bet 10 guineas to run naked from Cornhill to Cheapside and he was arrested.
That's an awful lot of money.
It's also quite a long way.
Yeah.
Cornhill. No, it's not, is it?
How far is that?
It's just across one bit of the city to the other, isn't it? It's probably about...
It's still a good job.
If you're naked, I think that would feel like quite a long way.
It's a good 5 to 10 minutes.
It's not a cricket pitch, you know. It's a proper run. If someone says streaking, I think of cricket. It's the most common one that people streak at. And tennis.
I think it's often out of boredom, I think, streaking it.
Yeah. what I found quite... The quarterfinal of the snooker has been interrupted by streakers four times, including one man, Mark Roberts, in 2004, who hid under the table and tried to claim asylum. Eve, you have any more questions about Lady Godiva syndrome? Or jolly flashing, should we call it? Jolly flashing. As opposed to dark flashing. Ooh, not so good.
Why is it called Lady Godiva syndrome?
Well, after Lady Godiva. And her naked riding around on a horse.
But she wasn't really joyously, though.
Oh, it depends on the report. I don't think she was bothered. Was she?
Yeah.
Lady Godiva upset. She was saving the people by being naked. She looks jolly in the statue. Yeah.
I don't think she wanted to, though. Well, I'm sure it's apocryphal anyway.
I don't think it really happened. No. So, in my version of the not-true myth of Lady Godiva, she was having a ball.
Well, she covered herself with her hair, so she can't have been, you know, quite the balls out with it.
What have you got for us, Miranda?
The social precedent that I'd like to suggest for dick pics is genital retraction syndrome.
I feel pain.
No, I know. Dick pics assert the physicality of the phallus. How necessary is this? Well, very.
I think Archie's going to argue it needs to move.
If you're afflicted with genital retraction syndrome, it's very necessary. This is also known as shrinking penis. It's a delusional disorder in which an individual has an overpowering belief that their genitalia are retracting and will disappear, despite the lack of any true long-standing changes to their genitals. The syndrome occurs worldwide, but it's most common in China, Africa, and Southeast Asia. And in 1967, one of the best documented epidemics of genital retraction syndrome, hundreds of people in Singapore were rushed to hospitals, afraid that if they loosened their grip on their penis, they would die. I know. It started, apparently, with a rumour that pork inoculated against swine fever could cause the penis to shrink. And it continued for 7 days until the Ministry of Primary Production and the Singapore Medical Union were forced to intervene and publicly announce that swine fever and the vaccine were harmless to humans and the condition was purely psychological. In the end, a total of 469 cases were recorded, though the real number was certainly higher since the survey only included Western hospitals and did not account for traditional Chinese doctors. So, do you think when you receive a dick pic, what you're really seeing is someone asserting the physicality of their penis?
Well, there's still, I don't know that. No, I'm gonna sort of perhaps deflate this slightly and say I don't think it's that deep and meaningful. I think it's just when a picture is sent on the internet through an app, it's like, hey, look what I've got, do you want it? I don't think there's any kind of assertion of its physicality. It's taken as read that everyone...
Do you like my magnificent obsession?
I think
it's taken as read that everyone on Grindr has a penis and it doesn't need to be asserted. its physical existence doesn't need to be asserted.
Then why do you need to send the photograph? You could just describe it visually, like...
Well, it's like, why do you need to view anything that you might want in advance? You know, why?
You want to buy these trousers? They are long and blue.
Yes.
And they shall look good on you.
Yes. One of which rhymes. You must buy them.
Imagine if the internet was just lots and lots of text, no images, everything was just described at length in sort of kind of Victorian, you know, sort of.
I'm into it.
19th century books where they spend 5 pages on the plant stand in the front of the hall. Instead, you just have, rather than send news, like, it is, my skin is pasty white. It is a sunny day and a shining forth upon my magnificent member. I think that'd be great.
I'd love that.
I suppose what I would say is that whilst it's not this sort of philosophical assertion of the physicality, I suppose it is an assertion of sorts, which is, look what I've got.
Mm.
Want me because of this.
And so mine is virile and massive and not retracting.
It's the opposite, isn't it, of genital retraction syndrome.
Very, very much so, yes.
Genital insertion syndrome.
I'd just like to point out that my grandfather, Bob, was actually... He was a doctor in Singapore at the time, and he used to tell some really horrifying stories to his grandchildren about a man who came in with a string around his penis. In one of the Western hospitals, he came in with a string around his penis, and on the end of the string were his entire family of about 15 people, and apparently he nearly lost his penis due to the lack of blood supply.
They were all holding
the string, trying to pull it out of his body.
But could they not all see that it wasn't in his body?
But it was mass hysteria. Everyone was buying into this idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that different from the witches putting a glamour on it and it retracting into your body, is it? It's basically the same thing.
Oh, they'll all look back on it in a year and laugh.
Was the hysteria in Africa, and you said it were at East Africa as well?
In Africa, it's particularly Africa, China and Southeast Asia.
And was that all linked to the same thing, to the swine flu?
No, but I think I was reading up on this, and I think it's interesting to look at the larger framework of mass hysteria.
Mm. Always.
Yeah, well, I was looking into it, and it turns out that it's something to do with something called mirror neurons, which have been found in humans and non-human primates, and they fire when... So if you do something, it fires a neuron in my brain, which means that I want to do the same thing as well. And it's something that primates and humans particularly do, which is why we're susceptible to mass hysteria. The next cultural precedent that we have for you is, well, it's cultural.
Mm.
So who's going first this time?
You.
Me. I'm going first. I trained as an art historian, and I would like to look at the dick pic as a form of self-portraiture. Philosopher Alain de Botta has championed the dick pic, insisting...
Oh, he would.
Well...
Sorry.
...is insisting they were the result of, this is a quote, the wish to reveal one's deeper and sincere self. He cites, he does this in a video for the School of Life. He cites a 1509 self-portrait by Albrecht Dürer, claiming, again, a quote, Dürer carefully details his penis because he wants to tell us something about who he is. He's not purely an accomplished cultural figure concerned with lofty ideals. I mean, the guy engraved pictures of rabbits. He's also a creature of flesh and blood, defying notions of shame around the physical self.
What is this picture of?
Is it a self-portrait of himself with his penis out?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So it's a full...
It's a full length, but right. the main feature really is the penis. It's more of a semi, really, I'd say.
Partial. Perky.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I don't have any framework to place that in, not having Albrecht Dürer's penis seen in a variety of states. So I wouldn't like to. I'd like to look at whether artists have historically explored the dick pic as a form of self-portraiture. And I've come up with some examples. So here are three. The first one is French photographer Hippolyte Bayard's 1840 self-portrait of a drowned man. It's a photograph of him looking very dead and wet. And this was produced in, not wet in a fun way, wet in a dead way, produced in reaction to him being usurped by his rival Louis Daguerre's daguerreotype. The second example is Austrian painter Egon Schiele's 1910 nude self-portrait, in which emotional and sexual honesty and the use of figural distortion come in place of conventional ideals of beauty.
And that got a penis in it too.
Yeah, they've all got penises in.
Which is like clarification.
Clues in the title. The third example, which also includes a penis, is British photographer John Copland's graphic depictions of his aging body, including the 1986 self-portrait, three-quarter view straight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, so, as we said, three-quarter view is the best.
Three-quarter
view is
the way to go for. I mean, for that one, I have to say, actually, it's not a great angle for him. We'll put pictures of those up on the website, but I'd like to posit the idea that maybe Alain de Botton is right, and that perhaps next time we receive a dick pic, we should think about what the sender or artist is trying to communicate through the medium of his member.
Well, yes, context is everything. That's for sure.
What was the drowned one trying to communicate?
So he was pissed off with Louis Daguerre because Louis Daguerre had pipped into the post in the photographic technology stakes.
So it's, look, I'm naked and erect and wet and dead.
Yeah, no, I'd emphasise that he's not actually erect in that one.
Okay.
That is a flaccid.
Flaccid and
a
dead.
A flaccid penis. It's himself as a corpse, a drowned corpse.
Right.
It's quite a dark picture.
I mean, that is passive aggressive, isn't it? You've upset me. Here's me as a corpse.
But if you think about that's in 1840 when photography, as you know, obviously if Daguerre is just cracking on with inventing it at the time, is really early. So one of the first photographs, if you look at the whole world of photography that's come after, was a dick pic.
I'd be willing to bet that the second photo ever taken was a dick pic.
And maybe the third?
Yeah.
Because he didn't like the angle.
to that first one of the thing that's gone down in history is what the first photograph is.
Yeah.
And then as soon as everyone's gone, his pants are coming down.
Yeah. I read the other day that apparently they've done a psychological survey that if you leave a man in a room with an object, eventually the man will put it on his head. Women don't.
No, really?
You see, everyone I say that to says that. I've said, you mean fuck it or put it up their bottom? Like, no.
One of the websites that I stumbled across whilst researching this was critiquemydickpic.com. Don't know if you guys are familiar with this.
No, I'm not, actually.
So, according to its blurb, it's the website where you can receive honest, objective feedback on the quality of your dick pics. It looks at a dick pic from an art historical perspective rather than...
seduction.
Yeah, seduction. And I thought it was really interesting. So I'm going to read you an example review, and then I'm going to give all of you a dick pic to review.
Oh, great.
Okay, fun game. So here's the example.
Where did you get your dick pic?
From I got them from a range of sources.
Okay.
So the example. This is a strong, simple dick pic, sender. There's very little in the way of distraction or clutter, and you've distilled your picture down to only the most crucial elements. It's well framed, it includes a generous portion of your body, and you've made expert use of negative space. What's more, your grip is convincing, and there are some lovely parallel angles.
Grip is being gripped.
Yeah. Your dick appears completely frozen in time. The black and white filter is no doubt assisting this tone. Overall, I'm very happy with your effort, particularly considering it's your first attempt. Your dick gets an A.
Ooh.
Okay, so who...
You've got a less positive one.
No, I haven't. Okay, so who wants to go first with a dick pic?
Me. Okay. Me.
Let's just get one for you.
Show me the penis.
Okay, bigger. Oh, there we go.
Ooh.
Okay, so these are all just dick pics I've pulled off the internet.
Oh, it's artistic.
The first one there, if you want to have a look at that.
Mm. Well, again, as the one you were describing, this has an excellent use of negative space. And by going for the monochromatic, he really centres the main event. But there's an element of surprise here by displaying a flaccid penis.
Is that flaccid?
That's flaccid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's unexpected. So you feel you know what you're getting. You've got your typical sort of black and white. You've got a very strong sort of golden triangle Renaissance setup here that you feel this is the typical Athena poster with a cheeky twist. There's going to be a massive erection. But no, ooh, it's just cheekily flaccid. It's just there.
Mm.
However, I do kind of suspect that there has been some digital altering in this image, because the member does seem a lot smoother than the rest of the photograph, suggesting that it has been retouched or maybe even roboscoped on this image, which is a bit of a shame, and it's kind of taking away my attention from the rest of what is a very good composition. B to B plus.
Okay, Chesky just gave a B to B plus to a Robert Mapplethorpe.
Well, if Robert Mapplethorpe was trying to seduce me, I think he should have not erred on the side of flaccid.
Andrew, would you like a dick pic to critique?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Dick me.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Right, what I'm looking at here is... so it's a black background, and then it's like a pink image. It's quite disorientating. It's difficult to describe precisely the angles. Can you help me out with this, Miranda?
So I think these are his hands.
There are two hands on the penis.
And I think that's his stomach there and his thigh.
Okay.
We'll put all these pictures on the website. We might put
Paris's Burning. It's got that sort of neon noir thing going on.
We'll put links to these images on the website.
No, we won't.
So basically, we've got the camera kind of at sort of 90 degrees to the hip. So we're kind of looking at the penis almost sideways, but not quite fully sideways. There's a hand positioned at the base of the penis, and there's another hand positioned underneath it, and the hand that's underneath has got the thumb just resting on the head. As someone who doesn't really actually care about penises that much, I think this is a real beauty, actually. Yeah.
What would you give that grade-wise?
I'd give this an A-.
Oh, so this one is actually by contemporary artist Eddie Peake, who is famous for his naked stunts. He did one where I think it was in Holland Park, or maybe Hyde Park, he got a naked football team, and they all played with their penises flapping around.
Lovely.
And this is actually the main page on his website. That's all it is on his website.
We can definitely put a link to that. That's fine.
They're both fine art, darling.
The first one is just a man in a towel.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about, you know, how the erect penis is still taboo and the vagina is also still taboo. But really, they don't necessarily need to be, and you can find beauty in a dick pic.
All penises are beautiful.
I think that's a lovely sentiment.
I think that's a lovely thing to say.
Some of them do just look horrible, though.
I'm going to sanitise it right down and remove any bodily function and talk about cyber wanking. So apart from exhibitionism, another theory behind the compulsion to send dick pics is in order to instigate sexting or cybering. So obviously hoping that it will lead to a
horny
in-person
chat.
Encounter, but actually people are quite happy with the horny chat.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is the end goal of horny chat, lovely wank. Cup of tea.
In which case, the object of the dick pic is again to sort of stimulate as well as impress.
So I've been looking at David Levy's seminal work, Love and Sex with Robots, which is a great one to read on the train if you don't want anyone to talk to you.
Always.
Of how cyber sex will soon be moving from the haptic interface, e.g. touch sensor stuff,
right.
to full-on sex robots.
Right.
So we'll be able to plug into the USB masturbatory aids and liven up our long-distance relationships and our casual online encounters.
So, just run that past me again.
So at the moment there are, that I'll talk about in a second, haptic interfaces, touch sensor things that can work with either talking online to somebody or watching porn. But the theory is in the next few years we'll have full-on, there's a few patents already been put in, full-on sex robots that work with our online encounters. So you can say that I'm going to do this to you and the robot will stimulate your genitals in time to that. So you're having sort of a physical sensation, you're masturbating through your computer.
But there isn't an actual kind of android in the
room. There are androids coming. They're not coming. They're not enjoying it. They're androids. Do androids dream of electric orgasms? No. So the most advanced example of this is something called Real Touch. And you can buy it on Amazon. And the product description of it is the Real Touch. It looks like a fleshlight. If you've ever seen a fleshlight, it looks exactly like one of those. And it hooks up to your computer. And the Real Touch is more than a high-tech web-connected sex toy. It's a virtual sex experience, including haptic technology, with selected encoded and adult videos. So as it's connected up to whatever video you're watching, it will stimulate your penis.
Does that cost? How much does that run out at?
I'm not sure. I'd have to double check. I think it's about £100. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
So yes, it lets you feel everything you see for the most realistic simulation of sex available. A flexible orifice likely squeezing you in perfect rhythm.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand? It's a plug-in wank sleeve. It's great.
It's a plug-in wank sleeve.
Plug-in wank sleeve that works.
You watch some pornography, and at the moments when the person in the pornography is receiving or giving pleasure, I imagine you would get a sort of a vibration in your plug-in wank
sleeve. But in the future, you could plug it in, and they're making it. There's like a glove as well that you wear that's covered in sensors. And as you're sexting somebody and saying, you know, "Ooh, I'm stroking you now," the glove will be stimulated to do the same thing as what you're saying.
Okay.
You're feeling. Right.
Usually, you have to get them to put the glove on the appropriate body part.
Well, yes. You can't like. Drone it.
You can't be like.
So this
there is a drone fuck machine.
No, yeah. Is there? Tell me more.
It's called the Fuckatron, but it's not actually practical. It's just using a demonstration because the annual conference dedicates this because they really believe a lot of the robotics company that this will be big business in the next few years.
Well, it's bound to be.
Do you know what the annual conference where they demonstrated the Fuckatron is called? Because it makes me quite happy. It's called Ars Electronica.
Lovely.
Nice.
Which is great. And this is that we apparently live in the teledildonic age.
Do you know? I was not aware of that.
Technical name. That's the technical term for robot sex and masturbation. And scientists also reckon this is all going to turn us into super lovers.
So the plug-in wank sleeve.
Yes.
Just going back to that.
The Real Touch. Tell me more.
Still on that.
The Real Touch, which is what you're calling the wank sleeve, was started in conjunction with an adult entertainment channel that they could program the videos to work in time with the sex toy. But the idea is that it will become something that if you, as you say, Skype someone in a long distance relationship, or if you're in a relationship with somebody in the virtual world, so couples that get together in Second Life, or live out whole entire lives on alternate reality platforms.
Oh, God, there's going to be all those girlfriends and wives out there who'd be like, oh, great, I'm abroad. I don't have to give them a hand job tonight.
Yeah.
And then they'll get the Skype call. And they're like, oh.
I've got the glove. Oh,
the glove's got to go on. The USB lead's going in. It's just like being at home again.
Oh. When you say the USB lead and the glove, it doesn't sound very sexy anymore, does it?
It's not very sexy.
So can I just think about how we'd relate that back to the dick pic? So would instead of sending someone a dick pic, you'd maybe send them a synthesis of the thrusting action of your penis?
You could still send them a dick pic. What I'm saying is this will be the 4D experience of the dick pic. So at the moment, we experience it just as an image. But in the future, you can have someone send you a dick pic and go, I like the look of it. I want to feel that penis. You know, like the deep blue chess computer that's memorised every move that you can possibly do, the amazing chess computer beats everything. That's what sex will be like, because your magical glove or your real touch could memorise everything that was possible.
So what if
you could basically, when you get your 4D dick pics, you'll be scrolling through a personalised gallery tailorised by your kink-specific algorithm. So when you're saying about the dick pic calling, maybe you could actually just have an algorithm on your future Grindr that says, I only like these kind of penises. And then they're the only ones that will appear.
It makes me think about the Turing test. You know, the Turing test where whether you can tell that you're talking with a computer when you're, like, chatting with a computer, if you can tell it's not a human. Would they have that with sex toys?
Well, all the ones I've seen pictures of, they don't really aim to make it look like...
But I suppose it's not about look, it's like the feel, is it? Can you tell that it's not spontaneous?
I think it's meant to feel better. Spontaneous. I don't want my computer to spontaneously shag me. That sounds terrifying. I was just reading my Kindle and then it got amorous.
Innocently playing solitaire and suddenly you're being face fucked.
Just the fact that so many people have been involved in the building and programming.
By solitaire. By the dirty jack of clubs.
They did a survey about Teledonics. And they asked people, and it was, they kept trying to reword the survey to make it fair. And so it was in 2003, they asked people what robot help would they most want in their lives? Something around that question. And 41% said some form of sex robot.
No.
That's how many people.
That's the first thing they said.
Yeah, I'd go for clean my house.
I'd go for clean my house.
I want a Roomba.
House.
Roomba, then real touch.
Wash up every single day.
Yeah.
Why don't people send you pics of that? Someone's just sent me pictures of that my washing up was done. I'd be way more interested.
A pristine draining board.
But, I mean, I'm sure there
I'm
are
not going to lie, that would do that for me. Should we give you a run through of the titles just to refresh your
memory? I think everyone listening could do the recapping.
So in historical we had
Roman fashionists
and medieval witches stealing penises.
And in cultural we had genital retraction syndrome
and Lady Godiva syndrome. And then in social we had the future of cyber wanking and the 4D dick pic.
And the dick pic as a self-portrait.
Well, my favourite part was rating the dick pics.
Oh, very much.
I quite liked that. I haven't seen that many arty dick pics before.
Well,
that was,
interestingly, that was when I was trying to find some, it was very difficult. It really was.
Does this mean, Miranda, that you've won?
Does it mean I've won? Yeah! I've won! Yay!
And quite aptly, simply by showing me dick pics.
The cultural historian of the month is Miranda Garrett. A gold star to Miranda.
Well, I don't know, but I thought it was disappointing, the lack of self-portrait of penises in Western art.
I think that's a campaign we can all get behind.
It was Miranda's knob what won it.
Yeah, it was my knob what won it.
You have been listening to This Is a Cultural History Of, presented by Miranda Garrett and Chesky Peschier, produced by Nigel Doyle-Rush with the voice of Trev Fleming.